Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum.
Hi, this is Rhea Goodman, and welcome to Living Juicy, now in its 16th year. Living Juicy is a cultural enzyme intended to inspire people to greater creativity and outside-the-box solutions. We restory the world with the stories of people who have created innovative new pathways to living in the 21st century. Living Juicy is culture medicine. So first, I want to thank everyone who donated to our fall fund drive. We're still a bit shy of our goal, so the drive continues, but we'd like to raise the rest of the money without any more big program interruptions. So please consider making a donation today at ksfr.org, where you can click on the red button at the top of the homepage or by calling us at 428-1527. That's 428-1527. Thanks for supporting Santa Fe Public Radio. This show wouldn't be here without you. Quotes, what we don't speak to, we don't understand. What we don't understand, we fear, and what we fear, we destroy. These are the words meant to end the cycle of destruction. They're the words of John Stokes, founder and director of the Tracking Project, whose purpose is connecting people to the natural world. Founded as a nonprofit organization in 1986 by John, the Tracking Project in Corrales, New Mexico, has worked with community educators and Native elders from around the world to design a series of teachings which connect individuals directly to the natural world. They offer programs which include a wide range of skills, from traditional tracking and survival skills to music, storytelling, dance, peacemaking, and martial arts training. The name Arts of Life was chosen to describe these programs, which emphasize indigenous knowledge, the lessons of nature, and the power of art. Over the past 17 years, a diverse team of artists and educators and traditional Native elders from the Tracking Project have shared this unique awareness program with more than 100,000 people of all ages. John Stokes, founder and director of the Tracking Project, is a well-known musician, performer, writer, and teacher of tracking. Since 1980, he has worked and traveled extensively in his efforts to bring awareness of the natural world and the integrity of indigenous peoples to interested people around the world. It is my genuine pleasure to welcome John Stokes. Hi, John.
Hi, Rhea.
Glad to have you on this show. First of all, John, for those of most people, I think, who are unfamiliar with tracking, tell us about what tracking is.
Tracking is the art of paying attention, the art of noticing everything that is going on around you. And the particular science that we teach is the science of hard ground tracking, the science of actually reading the earth and the passage of things here in the natural world.
So it's mindfulness with a twist.
Yes. It's where I learned it was from Native people who were using it as their fundamental teaching area, avenue. The art of reading a track on the ground to the Aboriginal people is where you begin the training of the child. And so the children grow up with this amazing awareness of the earth. And of course, from that connection, they understand how much the earth is like themselves, and the connection's so deep, yeah. So they follow the little lizard tracks and the little baby emu tracks, and so when they become adults, they're kind of what we would call master trackers.
Mm. So how would this process of tracking be really useful to people today in a city?
Well, the thing is, we live in a time where we're using these phrases of attention deficit. And so what we need in tracking is the opposite. We need we need an abundance of attention, an abundance of awareness. And of course, that awareness starts with yourself, your breathing. So we just came off a series of classes in Brazil and then in Hawaii. And one of our messages is that tracking begins with your breath.
Oh, wow. And do you teach breathing techniques?
We do.
Ah, tell me about that.
Well, there would be some that would say that Gary Snyder, the poet, would join the group saying that that meditation came from hunting tradition, that 40,000 years ago, 50,000 years ago, people sitting by the trail wanting to mask their position had to learn that the animals were all psychic and they needed to be very clever to outwit them. And so they saw that their breath was something very present. And they learned techniques of breathing, not only to move efficiently through the landscape, but also to pass into different states of awareness. So in the yogic tradition where you have the ujjayi breath, what my partner would say is the breathy sound, is just very practical. It's very healing. It helps you to be aware of each breath you take. And then you learn that each animal also has a breathing style. The buffalo has a breathing style. The cat has a breathing style. And so you learn that you can extend yourself into the world of the animals using these breathing techniques.
So ooh.
It's
how cool is that?
You could do a week or two just exploring breathing. Also, we were in Hawaii, and of course it's not as dry as New Mexico. And I tell the kids that somebody who walks breathing through their mouth is going to run out of water in half the time of somebody who knows how to breathe through their nose and breathe more correctly.
Well, I've been a student of breathing for a long time since I started in a school called Eureka. Mm-hmm. You've probably heard of Oscar Ichazo, now living in Maui, by the way. And it was there that I learned that the breath is actually the connection between the body and the mind. And traditions for centuries have been trying to make that connection. So the breath, it's right in the middle of the body, hey. And in fact, it does connect the breath, the body, and the mind.
And you know, you mentioned in our introductory comments together, you mentioned Qigong and the idea of qi. And so again, using the breath and the mind and the body together to follow these amazing animals through the bush. The tracker is different from a hiker. The tracker is different from someone who's trying to get from A to B in a certain amount of time. The tracker is maybe not going so far, but seeing lots and experiencing a lot. Mm. And so it's a little bit of a different way of wandering over the earth.
With exquisite attention.
And with ease and grace, yes.
Whoa.
Oh. So then the saying could be that the quality of the attention you bring to your life is the quality of your life. You could walk around and miss everything that's going on, or you could notice every little thing, pay attention, and know how it's connected.
So it's a major lesson in presence and in being in your body. And we really start each of these living, juicy episodes with as what we did today with a koosh ball throw, which is about getting guests into their body so they're not thinking about what they want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting into your body and tracking, it's obviously one of the principles of tracking. Being in your body, yes?
Being in your body, being aware of your humanity, and also seeing the human as an animal, as an upright, moving, diagonal walking character in this drama. And then from your own body, you can start to look at the bodies of the other animals and how each of them moves, how each is perfectly built to do what it is they do, how the deer is perfect unto itself, how the bear is perfect unto itself. And they do something better than anyone else. And it's the package, the way that they were put together. And so the tracker is wanting to understand everything. Why is that? How did that come to be? What made that? When did it happen? So it's a constant dialogue with the natural world. Yeah, that's not anything you attain. It's just something that you practice and you follow. And so the breath, you know, again, being down in Hawaii, the sound of the breath is ha. And so there's ha Hawaii.
Aloha.
Yes, and right. Aloha. And so, of course, that's very much in the Hawaiian tradition is a knowledge of the ha. So back to the ujjayi breathing, when you squeeze the vocal cords or the vocal folds so that the breath is made longer, this is ha loa, the long breath, and that's the name of, you know, a character that's antecedent of the Hawaiian people.
Uh-huh.
So you learn these truths in tracking, and they have philosophical manifestations, and they also are very real within your body. And you're not sitting. You're out in nature. You're moving, and there's living beings around you. So it is a real lively theater that you can study this art within.
And do you teach this in New Mexico as well, John?
Well, I do. I've been holding camps and gatherings for the last, it's going to be 30 years now. I came to New Mexico in 1985, and I was kind of fresh back from Central Australia, where I was working with Aboriginal Australians in a college in Adelaide and moving up into the center quite a bit with Pichincha people. And my teacher of tracking was a very well-known, famous, I think you'd say, tracker whose name was Jimmy James. I was working at a college for Aboriginal people, and it was based on Aboriginal pride and teaching skills within the Aboriginal community. I was hired by Aboriginal people to teach in their college. And what happened was we had a tracker come to the college at my invitation, and he did more in 10 minutes than I had accomplished in 3 years. And it made the Aboriginal people so proud to see this this character, this wonderful, skilled man who was in his 70s, how physically strong he was, how alert he was, how aware.
Mm.
And he did some tracking on the beach. And
Jimmy James.
Yeah. And it was amazing. And what he accomplished was so important to me because I saw that tracking was effective.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very important to me and remains important to me based on the time I have to do the things I'd like to do in life. And I saw that tracking was like the best form of the package of awareness that I could bring to the planet, because within it were all these exercises that help a person open up, grow, be connected, and understand the importance of life on Earth. The native elders were really happy to see that it was able to be taught because it was a way of pulling their youth back.
Ah.
It was a way of working with the kids in the street. It was a way of working with the kids in the city. And we began taking...
What was the appeal to the kids in the street?
Well, to be connected again, to be out of the concrete jungle, to be away from substances and danger, and to be back in the healing arms of Mother Earth.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so there were actually Pitjantjatjara women back then in the 1980s who were taking young kids who had been sniffing petrol.
Yeah.
And had really had a lot of damage to their body, taking them out bush, giving them bush foods, and nature was healing them, giving back their balance, giving them back their strength and their health. And so it was the native people in Australia and then North America who really saw the value of what I was doing for young people. And then we began to put together all the old stories of going out with your uncles and your aunts and learning and how people used to be trained. And the teen years were spent in such a different fashion.
Oh, my God. I'm just going to interject this horrific thing that I heard a few days ago. It was on the air. A study was released that was so alarming. Teenagers spend 9 hours daily on digital devices, and children 8 to 12 spend 6 hours daily on digital devices.
Mm-hmm.
This is the antithesis of what you're talking about.
It's the antithesis, yes. And so we began doing these courses, and in the time we've been doing the courses, they came up with the terms attention deficit disorder. And, and when they asked Richard Louv why he called it a disorder, he said, because Americans like to pay attention to things that are wrong, that are disorders. So what's the healthy way to bring a human up, you know, here on planet Earth? And nature seems to be a not only a guiding principle, it's a, you must have it, because there's something in nature that makes the human soft, that that helps us to understand who we are and why we're here. And without that, we get hard.
Mm-hmm. And we stop breathing.
We stop breathing. We stop caring.
Yeah.
Now these native people that came to town a few months ago, they're going to say that we have a mission here on the earth, not only to care for all living things, not each other and all living things, but even further out into space. That the human being has an amazing capacity for caring. And it's not our nature to be destructive. We're not supposed to be ruining the only place we have to live. So how did we get off course? And so tracking is a way of bringing people back on course. It doesn't require any technology. It just requires humans and the natural world, and you can begin the teaching. And you can learn to track your breath. You can then track yourself. You can track your family, your culture. So the beautiful thing is that the
describe that, if you would. How do you track your family, your culture? Describe what you mean by that.
Well, the interesting thing about tracking is one of our native elders, whose name was Jake Swamp, an elder of the Akwesasne Mohawk, he and I traveled together for years and years. And he would always tell people, I love this tracking that John's doing because it's the truth. He said, I wish people could look at history with the eyes of the tracker and see what really happened. Mm. And the idea is that when the animal turns and there's a mark in the track that shows that it turned, mm-hmm. that track is unmistakable. And that means the animal went that way. And that is the truth. The truth is the track revealed the passage of the animal. Uh-huh. Well, if you're a good tracker, you're going to arrive at the thing you're tracking. And so you can judge yourself as to whether you're a good tracker or not a good tracker by whether you arrive to the animal. So the cues that you learn on the hard ground are concepts that you can also use internally to track things inside your own mind. So you can look at, I guess you would call it backtracking, backtrack yourself and follow them, yeah. And then the concepts get more and bigger, and so you take the same art from outside and you turn it inward. When you see, oh, I see, so that's tracking, then a guy says, oh, I track money. And someone else says, oh, I track diseases. Mm. And another says, oh, I track cultural trends. Mm-hmm. And it's the same art of paying attention and watching where the critter went.
And having a genuine overview, a witness, actually, to yourself, which is another kind of self observation and self-knowledge.
There's a concept. I've borrowed quite a few things from a gentleman named Tom Brown. And I taught at his school when I came from Australia. He had a different style of tracking that he had learned from an Apache and an Apache grandfather. And the Aboriginal style is very, very particular to Australia. Mm-hmm. And so I noted Tom's style. He had some wonderful sayings. He had a wonderful curriculum. And I blended some of the things he had with things I had. And he had a concept that he called the wall. And the wall is that when you're walking along and you're tracking, you have to remember it's not just seeing the tracks on the ground. You also have to be able to go without without food and without water. You have to be able to withstand all kinds of adverse conditions outside. And the bugs are biting and the sun's beating down on you. A tracker couldn't care less, right? Because you're on the trail, you're following. And maybe it's important that you find this thing. So you're on it for days, perhaps, or even weeks. And as you're walking along, you'll arrive at a place, and then it's as if you hit a wall. And then you'll see it in a class, and someone will say, oh, who cares where they went? They're gone now.
Yeah,
or, geez, it's hot. Oh, let's go back. I'm tired. I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, oh, you just hit the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's – but what's important about the concept is that that wall is the same wall you hit in everything you do.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you realize that if I can push through this with this track here that wall's going to fall in every other aspect of my life.
Same as fire walking. My son teaches fire walking. Same thing.
So you take that and you can proceed at your own pace.
Yeah, the limitations we create
that
stop us from getting to where we want. Yeah. Not enough, too long, too much.
Too soft, too hard.
Too soft, right.
Yeah.
To anything.
So be able to see that just on the ground, to have a little piece of ground teach you that is a wonderful thing.
That's incredible. We're going to have to take a very short break now, and we'll be back in just a minute. We're talking with John Stokes and the Tracking Project. Be right back.
Yo soy Marcela Diaz.
Yo soy Elsa López.
We are Nuestra América. Tune in every week to Nuestra América to hear our stories of struggle and triumph in the Latino, Hispano, and immigrant communities here in Nuevo México and the rest of the world.
Join us every Tuesday at 4:30 p.m.
Aquí te esperamos en KSFR, Santa Fe's only public radio station, 101.1 FM. Un reflejo del mundo en KSFR.
Hi, this is Steve Terrell. I'd like to invite you to the Santa Fe Opry. That's 10 to midnight Friday nights on KSFR. We play the country music that Nashville does not want you to hear. Country music like the good Lord intended it to sound. So come to KSFR for the Santa Fe Opry Friday nights at 10 o'clock.
It's a world of diversity on KSFR.
Beautiful. We're back on Living Juicy. We're talking with John Stokes. So much to talk about tracking, really about life. Tracking, he said earlier, is the best form of the whole package of awareness. I love that phrase. That was so cool. So you were just in Hawaii, John. What happened in Hawaii that was remarkable and wonderful and noteworthy and that you'd like to share?
Remarkable and noteworthy is that I'm still moving, still walking. I've been doing this job with a friend, Brad Cooper. We work with the Kamehameha schools on Oahu, and we take the entire 7th grade hiking over 3 days. That's 330 kids. We take them 110 12 and 13 year olds each day up into the hills above the campus. And I've been for years telling them all the animals are psychic and you need to be quiet. And getting 110 Hawaiian teenagers or any teenagers quiet for an hour or 2 hours is a thing. And I tell people this is an extreme sport, hiking with 110 teenagers. And they get quiet because they have a saying in Hawaii. And the saying is that you never say you're going fishing. And then I asked the kids, why don't you say that? And they said, because the fish have ears. And I said, well, you always say I'm going holo holo. And that just means I'm going to go walk about, go walk around a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And the fish don't know you're coming, or the deer don't know you're coming.
Uh-huh.
And so you say, I'm going holo holo. So I said, well, if the fish have ears, don't you think that all the other animals have ears? So there's a saying, when you're following an animal, you don't step on the tracks that you're following. And because when you do, you actually make a contact with the animal. Now, when you're dealing with a high-end predator like a jaguar or a mountain lion, they'll actually feel the connection you make. They'll circle back around. And in cases with me and others, that I've heard, they'll put their track on top of your track to see if you can feel them.
Wow.
So there's this neat kind of game going on, the awareness game. And so there's a little bit of energy that's left in the track by the passing of the person. And mm-hmm. so when I was with this Aboriginal man, Jimmy James, one of the first things he would do when he tracked, he would bend down and he would study the track for even 15, 20 minutes to where the people, the non-Aboriginal people watching him would make jokes and say, oh, he's gone into the dream time and this and that. But what Uncle was doing, what he explained to me, was he was bonding his energy with the energy of the track so that the track would pull him along.
Oof,
so yeah. that he would be connected, that he would be attached.
The power of the invisible again.
Yeah. yeah. So when we talk about chi and we talk about energy, we talk about essence, tracking can be refined to that level, to where you're doing that kind of energy tracking. But where we begin is with the ABCs, is learning to read the marks on the ground, because that's the beautiful thing about it for schooling, for teaching children, is that it's pre-verbal. Tracking is from before words, from before language. And it takes us to a time when we could speak to all the animals, when we could understand all the animals, that we could speak with the trees and the birds, and we were part of the whole plan. And so that dialogue, reestablishing that dialogue, is again something that tracking can do very well. So you don't have to do a lot of talking about the track. You put the student on the track, and you let the track teach them.
Mm.
It's a wonderful education.
And I'm wondering, is it limited to children? Because I find myself sitting here hungrily wanting to go along on this adventure and to learn to do it myself.
Well, this whole idea of the bicameral mind and the two hemispheres of the mind, and when you would see Uncle Jimmy track, you would see the artistic mind of a poet, and you would also see the digital mind of a detective, crime scene investigation. And tracking is beautiful because it's the marriage of the hemispheres. I really think it's a key to whole brain thinking. And then when you realize that the heart-mind complex is working together, and then you've got your breathing so that the whole body is involved in this activity, it's really quite dynamic.
You're connected to yourself, to the earth, to the environment, to the air, to the energy. Wow.
As far as you'd like to go.
Yeah.
So the model then is that you're quieting the rings that are coming off of you, and you're reading the rings that are coming towards you. And to do that, being quiet is important. So when I ask the kids to be quiet, I explain why. And they get quiet because there's a reason. It's not just Uncle John telling you to be quiet. There's a reason to be quiet. And I ask them to remember that feeling. And you would be surprised how much they appreciate it.
I bet they welcome it, actually. Yeah.
And the teachers are the happiest.
John, we've got less than 2 minutes. I know that you've got three extraordinary kids. You homeschooled them all. I'm sure that has to do with your really helping to create complete human beings. Talk a little about how that has helped change them, alter them, help them to become who they are.
Well, the beautiful thing was that they grew up in nature and they had plenty of time. I think there's that saying that we become human doings instead of human beings.
Yeah.
So when you homeschool without the schedule, my kids could be out and they could travel with me was the big thing. And that they could experience all these different cultures, that they could be around the wisdom of the native elders, that they could be around the animals who are teachers. The whole idea of different languages and travel. So they became really wonderful people. And I think my oldest girl especially, she saw that the tracking is very healing, that it can help a community work with its own youth. And she said that that's the most beautiful thing, Dad. You see a problem, you bring the tracking and you help to heal it, yeah, to make it a better place.
Incredible. Your website is thetrackingproject.com.
Dot org.
Dot org, sorry. The tracking project.
Yes, and we'll have our new schedule for 2016 up within a matter of weeks, and people could come join us in some classes.
I'm on. This sounds fabulous. Thanks so much for joining us, John Stokes. Listen up next week. There'll be somebody almost equally juicy. Thanks for listening, folks. Good night, John.
Thank you, Rhea.